Chapter 37. Reacher turned suddenly and saw two men. One was big, and the other was a giant. The big guy was carrying a two-way radio, and the giant was carrying a two-headed wrench as long as a baseball bat and probably heavier than 10 of them. The guy was easily 6'6" and 350 pounds. He looked like he wouldn't need a wrench to take a wrecked car apart. The guy with the radio asked again, "Who the hell are you?"
"EPA inspector," Reacher said. No reply.
"Just kidding," Reacher said.
"You better be."
"I am."
"So who are you?"
Reacher said. "You first. Who are you?"
"I'm the plant foreman. Now who are you?"
Reacher pulled the pewter star from his pocket and said, "I'm with the PD, the new deputy. I'm familiarizing myself with the community."
"We didn't hear about any new deputies."
It was sudden. The guy raised his radio to his face and clicked the button and spoke low and fast. Names, codes, commands. Reacher didn't understand them and didn't expect to. Every organization had its own jargon. But he recognized the tone, and he guessed the general drift. He glanced west and saw the Tahoes backing up and turning and getting set to head over. He glanced south and saw groups of men stopping work, standing straight, preparing to move. The foreman said, "Let's go visit the security office." Reacher stood still. The foreman said,
"A new deputy should want to visit the security office. Meet useful folks, establish liaison. If that's what you really are."
Reacher didn't move. He glanced west again and saw the Tahoes halfway through their half mile of approach. He glanced south again and saw knots of men walking his way. The crew in the aprons and the welder's masks was among them. 10 guys, clumping along awkwardly in heavy, spark-proof boots. Plenty of others were coming in from other directions. Altogether, maybe 200 men were converging. 5 minutes into the future, there was going to be a big crowd by the oil drums. The giant with the wrench took a step forward. Reacher stood his ground and looked straight at him, and then checked west again, and south. The Tahoes were already close and slowing. The workers were forming up shoulder to shoulder. They were close enough that Reacher could see tools in their hands, hammers, pry bars, cutting torches, foot-long cold chisels. The foreman said,
"You can't fight them all."
Reacher nodded. The giant on his own would be hard, but maybe feasible if he missed with the first swing of the wrench. Then 4-on-1 or even 6-on-1 might be survivable, but not 200-on-1. No way. Not 250 pounds against 20 tons of muscle. He had 2 captured switchblades in his pocket, but they would be of limited use against maybe a couple of tons of improvised weaponry. Not good, Reacher said.
"So let's go. I can give you 5 minutes." The foreman said, "You'll give us whatever we want."
He waved to the nearer Tahoe, and it turned in close. Reacher heard oily stones and curly fragments of metal crushing under its tires. The giant opened its rear door and used his wrench to make a sweeping get-in gesture. Reacher climbed up into the back seat. The vehicle had a plain utilitarian interior. Plastic and cloth. No wood or leather, no bells or whistles. The giant climbed in after him and crowded him against the far door panel. The foreman climbed in the front next to the driver and slammed his door, and the vehicle took off again and turned and headed for the line of office buildings south of the vehicle gate. It drove through the middle of the approaching crowd, slowly, and Reacher saw faces staring in at him through the windows, gray skin smeared with grease, bad teeth, white eyes wide with fascination. The security office was at the north end of the array, closest to the vehicle gate. The Tahoes stopped directly outside of it next to a tangled pile of webbing straps. presumably once used to tie down junk on flatbed trailers. Reacher spilled out of the car ahead of the giant and found himself at the bottom of a short set of wooden steps that led up to the office door. He pushed through the door and found himself inside a plain, metal, prefabricated box that had probably been designed for use on construction sites. There were five small windows fitted with thick plastic glass and covered from the outside with heavy steel mesh. Other than that, it looked a lot like the ready room he had seen at the halfway county morgue. Desk, paper, bulletin boards, armchairs, all of it showing the signs of casual abuse a place gets when its users are not its owners. The foreman pointed Reacher toward a chair and then left again. The giant dragged a chair of his own out of position and turned it around and dumped himself down in it so that he was blocking the door. He laid the wrench on the floor. The floor was warped plywood, and the wrench made an iron clatter as it dropped. Reacher sat in a chair in a corner. Wooden arms, tweed seat and back. He was reasonably comfortable. "Got coffee?" he asked. The giant paused a second and said, "No." A short word and a negative answer, but at least it was a response. In Reacher's experience, the hardest part of any adversarial conversation was the beginning. An early answer was a good sign. Answering became a habit. He asked, "What's your job?" The giant said, "I help out where I'm needed." His voice was like a normal guy's, but muffled by having to come out of such a huge chest cavity. "What happens here?" Reacher asked.
"Metal gets recycled."
"What happens in the secret section?"
"What secret section?"
"To the south, behind the partition."
"That's just a junkyard, for stuff that's too far gone to use. Nothing secret about it."
"So why is it locked and guarded?"
"To stop people getting lazy. Someone gets tired of working, dumps good stuff in there, we lose money."
"You part of management?"
"I'm a supervisor."
"You want to supervise my way out of here?"
"Well, you can't leave."
Reacher glanced out the window. The sun was over the horizon. In 5 minutes it would be over the east wall.
"I could leave," he thought.
The vehicle gate was open and trucks were moving out. Time it right, get past the big guy, run for the gate, hop aboard a flatbed, game over. With the wrench on the floor, the big guy was less of a problem than he had been before. He was unarmed and down in a low chair. He was heavy, and gravity was gravity, and big guys were slow, and Reacher had knives.
"I played pro football," the big guy said. "But not very well," Reacher said.
The big guy said nothing. "Or you'd be doing color commentary on Fox, or living in a mansion in Miami, not slaving away here." The big guy said nothing.
"I bet you're just as bad at this job."
The big guy said nothing.
"I could leave," Reacher thought again. "But I won't. I'll wait and see what happens."
He waited 20 more minutes before anything happened. The giant sat still and quiet by the door, and Reacher whiled the time away in the corner. He wasn't unhappy. He could kill time better than anyone. The morning sun rose higher and came streaming in through the plastic window. The rays cast a clouded beam over the desk. All the colors of the rainbow were in it. Then the door opened, and the giant sat up straight and scooted his chair out of the way, and the foreman walked in again. He still had his two-way radio in his hand. Behind him, in the bright rectangle of daylight, Reacher could see the plant working. Trucks were moving, cranes were moving, swarms of men were beavering away, sparks were showering, loud noises were being made. The foreman stopped halfway between the door and Reacher's chair and said,
"Mr. Thurman wants to see you."
7 o'clock. Reacher thought. Vaughn was ending her watch. She was heading to the diner in Hope, looking for breakfast, looking for her truck, maybe looking for him, or maybe not.
he said. I can give Mr. Thurman 5 minutes.
You'll give Mr. Thurman however long he wants.
He might own you, but he doesn't own me.
Get up, the foreman said. Follow me.